right. What's going on, fam? We're back right here on Tariq Radio. We had some technical difficulties earlier. I don't know what happened, but we're back. We're broadcasting and we didn't get no sound. But all my people in the chat room, are we good? Do we hear the sound? Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? There we go. We're here. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but we're back. We're going to chop up some good game. Today's show is brought to you by MinkSlide.com. That's where you can get the Mink Slide vinyl album, MinkSlide.com. And we're going to chop up some great game. We're going to talk about the R. Kelly series that's on the Lifetime channel. So you guys don't go nowhere. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? If you make music and you're serious about your craft, then you need to go online and visit my friends over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the boards, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and receive a discount link and free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started right now. Visit LegendaryMix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@LegendaryMix.com. Are you looking for 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products, including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out, all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Attention, parents and teachers. Are you tired of your children listening to music that glamorizes drug use and negative stereotypes? If so, check out Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, self-esteem, and much, much more. This is a Black-owned product that needs to be supported. Go to giftedandlit.com to order their program today. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com. Yo, are you a fan of personal development and self-help? Loving hip-hop? You love to listen to podcasts? Well, check out my man Poe at PoePolitikin.com. This was founded in 2008. PoePolitikin is a self-help meets hip-hop brand. And with each interview, they teach the babies and they share success secrets with you, the listener. Past guests of the show include Yo Gotti, Currency, MC Light, Dead Prez, Rashida, Gorgeous Dre, and so many more special people out there in the game. So PoePolitikin has featured over 500 guests. Subscribe to his podcast on iTunes and listen to their most recent interview with Rap-A-Lot founder Jay Prince and rapper Big Pooh from Lil Brother. So check them out right now. Go to their website, PoePolitikin.com, and follow them on social media at PoePolitikin. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a Black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The future futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning back in on Tariq Radio. Ready to chop up that game? Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We have a lot to talk about tonight. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on. I'm on Twitter right now arguing with a couple of moist dudes, a couple of black blabbity blacks who's out here campaigning for butter biscuits with this whole R. Kelly thing. Let me tell these cats to listen in live. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Now, sorry about that, guys. But you got a lot of people are live tweeting about this R. Kelly show that's on right now. And there's a lot of fake outrage. There's a lot of phoniness going on about it. And we're going to touch on that in a minute. First off, I want to say something about this. The young girl out there in Houston, you know, prayers go to her family. The little girl, Jasmine, we all know that the little girl, 7 years old, got shot and killed by a white supremacist in a very deliberate racial attack. This white supremacist just pulled up on this black family and just start busting in the car and killed this baby girl, 7 years old. You know, I don't want to take the tone of the show down, but you know, I have very small children. That baby is 2 years older than my oldest son. So we gotta psychologically get our minds right when we walk out the door, family. Psychologically, when you walk out the door, you need to get it in your mind that you may not come back. You need to get it in your mind that your children might not come back. And you got to think in terms of what you're going to do in this American melanin war. That's what I call it. This is an American melanin war. They are waging a war against melanin. And shout out to all my Houston folks for standing strong. I know my people in Texas, y'all go through so much anyway. But, you know, I go in on these white supremacists every single day. And we got to start going in on them and focusing on white supremacy and white supremacists every single day. We should not have to wait until there's a tragedy. We don't party and bullshit until there's a tragedy. We all need to be on code by watching these white supremacists 24 hours a day. That's all I do. I study their ass left and right. That's why they get so mad. I never take my eye off them. I always put things in the context of white supremacy, meaning that I'm focused on them. And a lot of black folks, we got this thing where we don't want to focus on that. Hey, that ain't fun. Hey, brother, why we always got to focus on white supremacy? What about misogyny? What about sexism? No. We're wasting time. The white supremacists are always trying to create smoke screens so we don't look at them. But that's horrible what happened to that baby. And, you know, a few days before that, I was pointing out how there's law enforcement. And excuse me, my sinuses and my throat is still a little messed up. I'm getting better. You know, I was hoarse for the last week, but I'm getting better. So that's why my voice is a little weird. But I was pointing out how you had law enforcement, quote unquote, down there in Texas throwing up white supremacist hand signs. See, black folks, I can't be the only one making noise about this shit. When I point out that these people are making these goddamn hand signs, I need y'all to get on code and make noise about that. I ain't doing that just to be doing it. These people send little death signals to each other. I've noticed whenever law enforcement or somebody in one of these militia groups throw up these hand signs and take pictures and the pictures circulate, usually there's some kind of racial murder or attack right after. So we need to get on code and make a lot of noise about that. Because understand, the police down there, they're in cahoots with these white supremacists doing these attacks. Did y'all see the chief of police or whoever the hell he was after the baby girl got killed? You see that weak ass press conference that the chief was doing down there? Whenever the white supremacists kill somebody, well, their talk gets real soft. When black folks commit a crime, they're looking for a black person. Boy, they got a lot of get talk. Oh, we're going to get you. We're coming to get you. We're going to get everybody in your neighborhood. It's tough talk. Not even talk. They just go get them. If a black person does some shit, it ain't even no talk. They getting them. They ain't doing no press conference. You notice that? They'll tell you what happened after they arrested their ass real fast. But the chief down there was on some real weak shit. He was like, whoever did this, you should turn yourself in. What? Hey, why don't you just turn yourself in? I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? They were doing that same thing out there in Virginia, in Charlottesville. The so-called authorities was doing press conferences talking about, hey, you guys aren't welcome here with that. We don't need that over here. Why don't you guys just leave? It's that real weak-ass soft talk. When there's black criminals or black people doing crimes or whatever, it's like, hey, we're going to get you. We got laws for you. We're going to arrest you. We're going to punish you to the fullest extent of the law. The white supremacists, it becomes real polite. Hey, you guys need to just skedaddle, okay? Why don't you just skedaddle? Why don't you just zippity split your way up out of here, guys? It's that weak bullshit. It's real soft. So that just shows that these guys are in cahoots with these folks. Let me tell you something. If they wanted to get the killer of Jasmine, they could do that overnight. All they have to do is start arresting and shaking down some of these white supremacist group members. Texas is full of these white supremacist groups. All they have to do is just start arresting them, throwing them little bullshit charges on them, you know, because they know they're all on meth and they got little drug charges here and there. Just start doing a sweep. And then they'll start talking to get out. Like, okay, look, we got you in jail. Okay, let's make a deal. What do you know about the guy in the red truck? Them fools will start talking. They'll start talking overnight. They'll find out who that person is. They don't want to find him. They're kind of just going to leave that up to the public. If they wanted to find that dude, they can find him. Understand, this didn't happen in no third world country. Do you know there's cameras all over the place? They got cameras everywhere. So now all of a sudden they don't know how to find this dude who shot somebody in a major city like that. Not only that, they got sound locators where they can locate the sound of a bullet to like a 3 or 4 block vicinity. They know how to find people, man. Do y'all know that? They got things like little receptors in certain cities where if there's a gunshot, they can dispatch police to the exact place or the location where the gunshot is. So this wasn't, they're trying to act like this motherfucker was 007 who did this heinous crime. They know who did this shit, man. You dig? Dude, we got satellites up in outer space that can zoom in on everything that's happening on the streets. They can zoom in right now. They can find out who did that, man. Shot spotters, that's the name of it, shot spotters. But don't just understand, family, these people, we are in the American melanin war. So you have to be war ready. You have to be psychologically ready for war. You understand? And one war we see is with the propaganda. Have you noticed there's been a lot of anti-black propaganda in the white media? It's been really heavy for the last week or so. They started off 2019 heavy with the anti-black propaganda. There were several stories. There was one story that came out of the Detroit News talking about the new face of anti-Semitism is black. And they had a picture of LeBron James. I'm like, what? And this white writer at the Detroit News just did this whole article talking about Farrakhan and all this old dumb shit. So they're ignoring all of these white supremacist groups who's marching around with tiki torches talking about the Jews won't replace us, and these white supremacists are shooting up synagogues, and they're going to hang their hat and place anti-Semitism on rappers and LeBron James, who said something about getting wealth. This is the melanin war, family. They're all getting on code against us. They are getting on code against us. This is why, family, we got to get on code heavy. And we're going to have to start identifying all the hyphenated Negroes. Because it's these hyphenated Negroes that are going out of their way to work against black society. These hyphenated Negroes are working in cahoots with the white supremacists against us. Now, who are the hyphenated Negroes? These are the Negroes who are black plus something else. They identify as black and something else. They are black lesbian, black LGBT. They are black immigrants. They are black swirlers. You understand? Little terms like that. They are black and Creole. They are black and Jamaican. I've heard that before. I've heard black folks say some shit like they're black and Jamaican. Like, what the hell does that mean? But it's always some hyphenated shit. That's that intersectionality talk. Meaning, they're black, but they ain't black. That's what that means. That means that I'm black, but I'm not black. I'm not like those other Negroes. So I'm a different kind of black. Those are little code words they use. They're black, but they ain't black. I'm a black womanist. See, because in their minds, they view themselves different from black Americans. So this is why it's very easy for them to undermine us, because they don't identify with us anyway. These hyphenated Negroes are very dangerous. And if you look at the white supremacists and how they undermine us, they get one of these hyphenated Negroes. It's always the main four is the black feminist, black immigrant, black LGBT, black swirler. Anytime you see fuckery within black society is one of those hyphenated Negroes who are black, but not black. So when you see a movie like, what's that movie? I forgot the name of it. It's a movie about this black girl falling in love with a damn Nazi. It's basically another version of slave play. And you notice that thing. That whole slave play narrative, black people falling in love and having sexual relations with white supremacists. That disgusting slave play out there on Broadway that white people are praising. You know, it was backed up by white money, but they put a black front guy there. They let a black guy write it, but they're backing him up with white dollars. Let's be very clear. And that movie about the girl dating a Nazi, that's coming out soon. And the writer and director of that, her name is Amma Asante. She's a Ghanaian immigrant living in the UK who has a lily white zaddy. Her husband is a zaddy. Bed wench. It's always a Bedouin, somebody behind that bullshit. These are the people we have among us, guys, and we have to identify them, and we have to understand when they're not on code, we cannot let them come around us and kind of blend in. We have to out them. We have to treat them as people who are hostile towards us because they're very dangerous to us. That's just the long and the short of it. And understand, black men, especially if you're a straight black man, you are constantly under attack, not only by the white supremacists, but some of these hyphenated minions of white supremacists. These are the main ones that's helping them attack you. There was something today, the Me Too movement, they're still skipping over the white males. All the white males getting caught out there with sexual assault accusations. They're skipping over them and they're going for all the black guys. AJ from 106 and Park. Remember him, the brother who used to be on 106 and Park? They didn't put some sexual allegations on that brother. It's like any black dude who's straight, and if you working in Hollywood and you straight, they hitting you. And some of the charges was basically like he went on a date, and some of the shit was kind of, it was real weak the way they were describing. It looked like he went on a date and he kissed somebody and they felt uncomfortable about the kiss 6 years ago. It's just real weird. And from what I understand, one of the women who accused him, because now it's a couple of women, I think one of the women also accused Russell Simmons. So you got these people, you know, working within the system. It seems like there's an agenda there. So we got to really be on top of our game. And we got to watch these hyphenated Negroes. I was having an argument on Twitter with a brother who's a soccer player. I can't think of the brother's name. He's one of the blue check guys, but he's a soccer player. He's from Haiti, actually. And he was over here because I go in on white supremacists, and I was talking about something, and then he hopped in. Oh, I know what I was talking about. I was talking about immigrants. I was asking questions about immigration because we got to get our minds right in this next election cycle. They're going to keep trying to push that immigration thing on us, and we're going to just have to reject it flat out. We cannot cape for immigration no more. It's just that simple. We don't have time to play games. Black Native Americans, Native Black Americans, DOS, descendants of slaves, we do not cape for any immigration at all. It just doesn't work for us. It's no practical reason for us to get down like that. It doesn't help us. It hurts us in every way, shape, and form. You cannot point to anything that immigration has done in the last 40 years, or hell, I go 60 years. Nobody can point to how it has helped Native Black Americans. I keep asking this question publicly. All I get is deflections, trolling, name calling, but nobody can answer that damn question. All these other people are going to have to hold their nuts. We're going to have to be brutal about circling our wagons. We've been too damn inclusive. And again, when I'm saying this, I've had, you know, a couple of the hyphenated Negroes hop in. This one brother, the Haitian guy, he hopped in. He was like, hey, now we shouldn't think like that. Well, I said, brother, some of these immigrant groups are harming us, so we can't cape for these immigrant groups. No. What we got to do, we got to fight hate with love. I said, brother, you're Haitian. Do you know your history? The Haitians didn't fight no damn hate with love. They went in on their oppressors. What are you talking about, bro? Then he was stuck. Oh, that's different. That's back then. It ain't like it. Like it ain't like that no more. All right, brother. They made sure they vetted you for your coon card when you came over here. They didn't give you a green card. They gave you a coon card. That's what I tell people when a lot of immigrants come over here. They've been coon vetted. And then I looked, I said, hold on, let me look at this nigga Instagram. I looked at his Instagram and this nigga is hugged up with every white woman you can imagine. He's the black friend. That nigga is just booed up with every Becky he can get his hands on. I said, okay, there you go, nigga. That's what it all boils down to. The black folks support immigration for one reason. There's only one reason, because when you start asking about tangible things that we've gotten out of it, you can't point to nothing. But then you see so many Negroes so hell-bent on supporting it. No, we got to. No, we got to do the right thing. That's what Martin Luther King had told us to, you know. When niggas are that adamant, those are niggas who just like exotic sex. That's why they like immigration. And that's the problem with Negroes. We'll sell everybody out just to get some goddamn exotic sex. We want to have sex with a goddamn Colombian. We want to have sex with a Puerto Rican. You want to have some sex with a Syrian. You dig? And that's what it all boils down to. And what's interesting, speaking of Colombia, is one chick who had the Colombian flag all on her shit, and she hopped in. She was like, hey, I don't, you know, your platform is too big to be saying that. That's dangerous. We all in this together. And I'll stop. Stop it. No, we ain't all in this together. Fuck is you talking about? All immigrants aren't like that. No, by saying that, you make it seem like all immigrants are like that. All immigrants don't hate black people. I said, lady, you claim to be Colombian. Well, I've been to that area. I've been down there in South America. And I've seen how the black Colombians are treated by the lighter Colombians. Y'all have the same anti-black racism there. And then all of a sudden, well, I was born here. I'm not from there. But you got the goddamn flag all over your page. And then she hit me with, well, look, I have a black boyfriend, and I don't think all of that is true. What the fuck does your black boyfriend have to do with anything? And that's another thing. People, y'all coons and bedwinches and mammies and bucks, y'all got these people thinking, okay, just because they're having gutter sex with you, they got a green light to hop in our conversations with the bullshit. No. Don't give a damn about you having sex with a Negro. That don't give you the green light to jump into my political conversation that I'm having with my people. We're not doing that. Look, I have people from different walks of life on an individual level that I'm hella cool with. Some of my best friends, and I know a lot of people in the dominant society say that, but I got some real good friends who are from all over the place. But when it comes to the group, I'm looking out for my group. I'm not going to be one of these Sambo niggas that's, I'm just going to get mine and fuck everybody else. That's why we're in the predicament we're in. We don't have any group support because niggas always trying to go for theirs. So we got to get that cold thing popping. You dig? Now that brings us to this R. Kelly show. The Surviving R. Kelly. So this whole thing with the Surviving R. Kelly, this is just something that's backed by the white Me Too contributors. It's really their thing. This is a way for them to deflect away from all the white males. This is a perfect deflection to deflect away from the white males doing all this shit, the Catholic priests doing all this stuff. So they've been deflecting onto white males left and right, and they got their bought and paid for Negroes to try to shout or shame anybody down who calls out the white supremacist agenda. So if you call out the people who's backing this garbage, all of a sudden their bought and paid for Negroes are on Twitter talking about, oh, you support pedophilia. How you gonna support a pedophile? That's fake. Don't fall for that. They get paid to say that type of shit. Just like with Bill Cosby, when you pointed out the racist shit going on with the Bill Cosby case. Oh, wait a minute. You support sexual assault of women. It's all fake. Or they'll say, oh, you why are you talking about white supremacy? Wait, do you don't like black girls? It's all fake. It's contrived. And black folks don't fall for that. Understand, these niggas get paid to do that. Because it's the same group of Negroes. Whenever you see people on Twitter saying that, it's Negroes who are connected with some kind of major corporation. They sit them down and they have conversations and tell them to do that. It's real fake. Don't go for it. Also, these organizations, they tell their shea butter Negroes to tweet all this outrage shit and act like they're so outraged over this R. Kelly thing. Look, this, first of all, with this R. Kelly thing, and I've been watching it. There's nothing in here that we didn't know for the last 20 damn years. Let's be real. We've been knowing all this information for over 20 years. Let's stop being phony here. Black people have been knowing this information about R. Kelly for like 20 years. Ever since he married Aaliyah. We knew he married Aaliyah in 94. Everybody knew it in 95. We knew it. Please stop all this fake, dumbass outrage like you so shocked. That's niggas showing out for their white benefactors. Oh, R. Kelly did what? Oh, God, he trash. He got to get up out of here. You've been knowing this shit for over 20 years. What's this fake fucking outrage y'all got going on now? Let's stop that. Let's just stop it. That's my problem. We all know this shit. We all know it has been known for years. He did well with them women. He met with underage girl. Oh, Lord. Man, he needs to get up out of here. He canceled now. He is canceled. Yeah, niggas showing out for white mommy and white daddy. That's just niggas showing out. You motherfuckers knew all this shit. And what's interesting, on the show, you notice they got Jamila from Ebony. She's up there with blue hair looking like Marge fucking Simpson. And they got Mickey Kendall. They got all these people connected with Ebony and Essence. You understand? They got all these Shea Butters, and all the Shea Butters are connected with Ebony and Essence magazine. Okay? They all clicked in with that. And they up here acting all shocked and oh Lord, I didn't know. Oh Lord, oh yeah, all this stuff. Black men. And then they keep trying to flip it onto black men. You notice the narrative? They keep trying to make it seem like it's a black man thing. They've been trying to flip that narrative about this R. Kelly thing from day one. They're trying to make it seem like, well, black men allowed this to happen. Black men and rape. Black men. They had Nelson George on here. And I like Nelson George, but Nelson said some real foul shit. And I was having a conversation with him on Twitter about it. I was having a conversation with him on Twitter. He was trying to do some splaining. He was trying to do some splaining, and I'm looking at Nelson real side-eyed. But he was talking about R. Kelly and the Age Ain't None But a Number album. And I got to sneeze. Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. Shit. I'm sneezing, coughing, sniffling. My bad. But Nelson George was talking about the Age Ain't None But a Number thing. And he was like, yeah, you know, that whole age ain't nothing but a number, that's kind of a thing in the black community. You know, I would hear that at barbershops. If a girl came by, the guys would be like, age ain't nothing but a number. And a lot of people were like, hold on, nigga. What the fuck barbershop did you go to? A lot of people were looking at him funny style on that, myself included. You see that? And that's very dangerous when they try to... He's throwing out code words and dog whistles for them. That shit, they use that against us, and it's not true. That's bullshit. I've been to many barbershops. I ain't never hear niggas sitting around talking about underage girls talking about some age ain't nothing but a number. I ain't never heard that before. And niggas talk about some of everything in a barbershop, but that ain't one. I ain't never heard nobody in no barbershop talking about underage girl shit, age ain't nothing but a number. I've never heard that. I swear to God, I ain't never heard no shit like that. I ain't never heard that. That's bullshit. And Nelson, well, I heard it in my barbershop. No, dude, you put that out. That's a fucking lie. You put that out on the airwaves. These white supremacists use that type of shit against us. I ain't never heard nobody, niggas in a barbershop talking about getting that underage girls and age ain't number the number. The cats I hung around would say, hey, don't mess with her because that's jailbait. I heard the term jailbait. Don't fuck with her, nigga. That's jailbait right there. That's what I heard. But I'm cut from a different fucking cloth. I don't know what kind of cloth that brother's cut from. Nobody says that. And if anybody says it, it was girls in high school would say that. I would hear girls say that. Like freshmen would come in there and they would say that to the juniors and the seniors. Like, you know, shit, I'm going to go to the prom with you. And niggas be like, you kind of young. Oh, age ain't number the number. So I would hear that from girls in high school, but I ain't never heard no shit like that from no grown ass niggas. You dig? So Nelson was out of line with that bullshit. And again, it was stuff like that. That little stuff where they're trying to put this R. Kelly thing and make it seem like a problematic thing among black men. And they pushing that thing real heavy. And even on Twitter, these bought and paid for Negroes under these different accounts, they kept tweeting shit like, man, I'm watching this R. Kelly thing. Man, black men are trash. Man, black men didn't even step up to help these girls. Black men this, black men that. And we know that Shea Butter Twitter and the Jamilas and all these other people, Mickey Kendall, these people have a history of anti-black male rhetoric. They cannot stand black men. That's all they do is engage in anti-black male propaganda, assisting the white supremacists. That's all they do. And what's so interesting about that, and some of the people, I've seen people with the blue check marks who write at Ebony trying to shame black people. And I've seen people from Essence trying to shame black people for calling out some of the white supremacists who's backing this thing. And also calling out the anti-black male propaganda. People from Essence like, oh, come on now. You need to listen to black girls now. Come on now. You don't like black girls, don't you? This is about the victims now. This is the people from Essence and Ebony saying this. And let me tell y'all something. Whenever Essence and Ebony try to run that game on y'all, please show them this. Just remind them that they were the ones putting R. Kelly on their goddamn magazines, even after they knew that this man had married Aaliyah, he was messing with underage girls. I just put up a cover of the 1998 Ebony magazine, and they had R. Kelly on the damn cover. So all these Jamilas and all these people on here talking this shit, talking about enabling him, who really enabled R. Kelly? Who enabled R. Kelly? Also, we do know that R. Kelly performed at the Essence Fest twice, 1996 and 1999. You understand that? So I find it very ironic. They're talking about, they keep trying to flip this narrative that black men are somehow complicit in R. Kelly, and they're running around talking about how black girls are not safe and all black girls are unprotected, but they are the ones who supported R. Kelly. R. Kelly ain't never been on no black men magazine, not that I know of. When you go to the concerts, it's mostly women there. When you look at videos now, even recently, there's videos of women rubbing his nuts and balls on stage. Women in the audience reaching up, rubbing his crotch. It's not brothers doing that. There's women who buy his albums. Let's be real about that. Who's really supporting him? And truth be told, it's really within the last few years have a lot of women that he's dealt with started really speaking out against him. Nobody spoke out against him. When people were, you know, you heard whispers and rumblings and all that. The people who we told were the victims, they didn't really testify against him. Remember, in the trial he went through, the woman, or the girl, she was an adult by the time the trial popped off. But she didn't testify against him. She said it wasn't her. Hell, you had a lot of women defending him. It was women defending him. You dig? So he was the monster, sure. Yeah, he was doing some real foul shit. I agree with that 100%. But don't put that on black men, though. We didn't support that. Black men were not the biggest supporters of R. Kelly. It's women who support that. You did? So we got to be real. Don't let them try to flip this into some kind of anti-black man rhetoric. And these are the people who really supported that stuff. And they like, we need to have a, this is a great thing so we can have a dialogue about what happens with sexual predators. They don't look, that's another fake thing. Niggas just trying to get some crumbs from some of these white organizations. Y'all trying to get crumbs. Let me say this too. They're trying to flip this into some kind of anti-black male thing. Y'all better understand that these white women and white males who are really the financial backers of this stuff, they don't view us as separate, because they'll use this against you. This ultimately goes against you. They'll show these images and say, look how loose these women are. Look how loose these sisters are. It's just their nature to be loose and promiscuous at a very young age. Look at them. That's how they think. See, a lot of people think, okay, we're going to try to play, we're going to act like victims, like white women, and we're going to get some of that paper. So it don't work like that. They don't look at you as a victim, which our sisters are victims of this type of shit, but they don't look at you as that. They look at you as like, okay, you're a fast sapphire negress, and that's just how y'all act. There's no pity that they're giving you. It's fake. Yeah, they have a bunch of fake concern, because when you watch this R. Kelly thing, they got commercials from like these Me Too organizations. Women out here, if you feel like you're not safe, or you want to talk about sexual predators, donate some money to Me Too. It's very exploitive. It's real fake. They're propping you up, showing these girls getting exploited, and saying, okay, look at these black girls getting exploited. Send us white women the money. Send the money to us white women, because these black girls are getting raped by R. Kelly and other black men. So send us white women the money. Because I've been asking, okay, let's get to the solutions, because nobody's co-signing R. Kelly. Nobody's defending him whatsoever. That's indefensible, and nobody wants to defend him. The only people defending him are women, to be truthful. But no men are defending R. Kelly. My thing is, okay, we've been knowing this for 20-something years. Now, white women and Me Too, how much money y'all gonna give to these sisters? How much money are you gonna allocate to these sisters so that they can get programs and institutions specifically for black females and black girls? Not this trickle down shit for minorities and people of color, where Hispanics, Asians, Palestinians, all these other women get stuff and then black women get the crumbs. No. Where's the money? Since the Me Too movement cares so much about your well-being. Ain't no money. They ain't about to give you nothing. They're using you. This is a hustle. They don't give a fuck about no girls getting molested by no R. Kelly. They can give less than a damn about that. There's a black girl who got shot in the head a couple of days ago. The Me Too movement ain't done shit. None of these white women groups have done shit about a black girl shot in the head. They ain't done shit. Now all of a sudden they care about some girls who got molested by R. Kelly back in the day? You really think they care? And y'all dumbasses up here acting like you shocked, trying to show out. Y'all been knowing that shit. Y'all been knowing that. Y'all know that. This ain't no damn new news. Oh, Lord, R. Kelly. Come on, we got to talk about that. Niggas always auditioning for some shit. Auditioning for butter biscuits. Because, cats, we don't really want to talk about molestation in black society. We really don't. Which is a major problem. Yeah, that shit is a problem. We know that. That's why people, we need to speak up. We need to have family structure, because a lot of that has to do with the broken family structure. When you have children with no protective barrier there, a father, they leave the families open to predatory people. When you don't have any type of family structure, you open that family up to predatory people. So yeah, that is a conversation that we should definitely have. And another thing we gotta have a conversation about that's never talked about, how these boys are being molested by these women out here in our communities. That's some shit that's really left under the rug. A lot of these boys are molested by women. Look at a lot of these celebrities out here, a lot of these public figures who talk about how they were molested. Comedian D. Ray Davis, he was molested, but, you know, they try to make jokes about it. He had his first sexual experience, but he got molested at like, what, 9 or 10 by two women, two babysitters. Charlamagne, he talked about how he got molested by a woman. Y'all got some real, we got some predatory men and women in black society. You dig? Antoine Fisher. A lot of people. Hell, R. Kelly. Do you know R. Kelly's sister molested him? When R. Kelly was talking about him and his brother, they got molested. It was his older sister that molested him. That's why that nigga's so fucked up. And that ain't justification now. I ain't justifying that nigga's fucked up shit. Because R. Kelly is fucked up. The shit he does is fucked up. Ain't nobody justifying that. But we see where it comes from. That nigga done picked that shit up from a damn woman in his family, molesting him and doing all types of shit. That's why he's trying to act like a pimp. All the shit that he's doing, because I know a lot of pimps who got molested by women. A lot of pimps that I know got molested by women. Even Iceberg Slim, the legendary Iceberg Slim, if you read his book, he got molested by a woman at a young age. So that made him a hardcore pimp. That made him hard on a woman. So a lot of those niggas, when they get molested by women, they get real hard on women. They get hard on women. They get stomped down gorilla pimpish. And that's what R. Kelly was trying to do, telling them to call me daddy and bitch, you can't leave the room. You can't leave the house. It's like this obsessive desire to control and humiliate women. I'm a pee on ya. You dig? I think, well, Richard Pryor too? Did Richard Pryor? There's a lot. That shit goes on a lot, man. That shit goes on a lot. So nobody really wants to have a real conversation. We don't want to have a real conversation about that because we'll have to open up a whole can of worms and then we'll have to start coming up with solutions. And what niggas really want to, they want those butter biscuits. They want to show out for white mommy and white daddy to get them a little plate of crumbs. But with this R. Kelly show, we got to understand who's really, really behind it. And one group behind this thing is called Black Women's Blueprint. Now, it's run by, it's really one of those black LGBT situations, just like Black Lives Matter. And speaking of Black Lives Matter, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice, I forgot her last name. She's one of those co-founders, one of those black lesbian co-founders. She was tweeting about the R. Kelly thing. She was like, yeah, R. Kelly and another pedophile, Michael Jackson, two pedophiles were working together. So she was using that as an opportunity to shit on Michael. I'm like, oh my God. These niggas have gone full bedwench mammy coon. You dig? Oh yeah, somebody in the chat room said Whitney Houston. Yeah, it was a woman who molested Whitney Houston. That's what made her fucked up. Yep, it was a woman who got at Whitney Houston. But like I said, and before I talk about it, we think that it's just the Lifetime Channel. And again, the Lifetime Channel, they work with all these white supremacist women groups. And the white supremacist feminists, they've always had anti-black male rhetoric. That's how they get money. They play on black male stereotypes, black male fears of black males as sexual predators. That's been a theme for white feminists since the 1800s. Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Canton, all those women, they would use that anti-black male rape propaganda in order to justify getting money. That's how they would get money. So this is not nothing new at all. In the Lifetime channel, this is why they always doing these black movies, and the black man is always the villain. Even speaking of Whitney Houston, they did the Whitney Houston story. Bobby Brown was the villain. Remember the Miss Chalet story? Wasn't that Lifetime too? The Compton, it was a bootleg ass straight out of Compton, which was a hilarious ass show. That Miss Chalet thing where they had Dr. Dre acting like Ike Turner. And clearly somebody white wrote the script. This nigga was saying some of the most outdated ass shit in that film. You better get in the studio, sucker. Who you talking to, you jive turkey? I'm like, who white wrote this? What old white man wrote this bullshit? He didn't even update his stereotypes. You dig? So Lifetime, that's their thing now. That's going to be their thing, doing these movies with the black male villain. They're not even hiding it no more. The evil black male. And like I said, the people really behind it, this one organization, Black Women's Blueprint, on their social media, they're talking about this movie. They're promoting the movie, talking about how to tweet during the movie. They're giving people some of the code words and language to use and tweet during the movie to spread propaganda. And on their site or on their social media, they're talking about reasons why black men rape. I mean, they specifically stating black men. So they're trying to lie and say this is not an anti-black male propaganda piece. But if you look at their websites and look at the people behind it, it is. Now, let's go deeper into Black Women's Blueprint. Now, who's funding that? Black Women's Blueprint, that's funded by a white organization called the Daphne Foundation. And I tweeted this earlier. On the Daphne Foundation website, they had something talking about the Mute R. Kelly and the Cosby Watch hashtags. And they said on their website, we're mobilizing and galvanizing black communities to visibly change black misogyny. And we have resulted this in several successful campaigns. So this is a white organization talking about this. This is a white organization talking about black misogyny. They're not talking about white misogyny. They're talking about black misogyny on a white website. So look, always look at the people behind the shit. And this is on the Daphne Foundation website. Now, who runs the Daphne Foundation? I'm giving y'all some receipts to look up. The Daphne Foundation, that's run by Abigail Disney. That's the grandniece of Walt Disney, the infamous white supremacist Walt Disney. I don't think people understand how racist Walt Disney was. I really don't think people fathom how racist Walt Disney was. He wasn't just racist for his time. He was a well-known white supremacist with people who worked with him. He did not like black people at all. Walt Disney was infamously racist. And you can see that in his movies. The Song of the South and all this, and the Crows and some of the movies be acting like jigaboos, and he would have characters shucking and jiving, very negative stereotypes of black people. Abigail Disney, she's the one funding the Daphne Foundation and these other black organizations. So she's part of the money behind this. And even her, Abigail Disney, a few years ago, she wrote an article talking about how racist her granduncle was. She talked about how racist Walt Disney was. She admitted it. But like Neely Fuller said, the white supremacists, they can play two sides of the argument. They'll call somebody racist and point their racism out, and they'll still practice racism themselves. So these people will carry on that tradition of anti-black racism because they know that's where the money is. That's what the Disneys understood when they would put out those negative movies and films about black people, they said, hey, this shit makes money. White people like to see this. And when we do movies negatively about black folks, white people start sending in money. They like this. This is where the money is. Now, we're not going to give these negresses none of it. We're going to have them as our little Negro mascots. But understand where all the money comes from. Now, us pointing this out, let me say this. Ain't nothing wrong with pointing this out because it's the damn truth. Dumbass niggas be like, well, hold on now. What that got to do with anything? Because I've had niggas arguing with me on Twitter. What white supremacy got to do with this? R. Kelly is a predator. He had pee on girl. If you got that mentality, you're that dumb. Get off my page. Dumb niggas got to get off my joint. I don't want dumb niggas lurking around letting people manipulate you, because this black folks sitting up here acting fake outrage over some shit we've been knowing for 20-something years, it's really not a good look, because niggas are fake. It's fake. It's you're doing the Pavlovian dog whistle. It's white mommy and white daddy got to tell you to be outraged. What the fuck? Why are y'all pretending to be outraged? Because white mommy and white daddy told you? Be outraged and I'm going to kick you a couple of butter biscuits? You've been knowing this shit for years. You should have been outraged 20 years ago. This shows that you're weak with this pretend outrage all of a sudden now, because white mommy and daddy came around with their Disney money telling you to be outraged. You can't be that damn weak. If you got a problem with R. Kelly, you should check the Ebony's and the Essence and the Jamilas and all these people who supported him. The Essence Fest, those are the people you should holler at. Them sitting on TV talking about, I don't know how R. Kelly lasted this long. Y'all made him last this long. You made him last this long. These niggas on TV, fake as fuck. You made him last this long. Y'all the niggas who work at radio, y'all work at Ebony, Essence, y'all were promoting them. So they need to cut out that fake shit all of a sudden. They want to flip the script. And again, we don't jump on something just because white mommy and daddy tell us to jump on and we running around, hell no, he canceled. Fuck all that. But you notice they're silent about the Harvey Weinsteins and all these people. They ain't doing all that. They're staying on code. And we don't have to be on code with no damn molesters or predators. We should be able to call them out and just don't fuck with them. Y'all shouldn't have been fucking with R. Kelly when y'all first found out he was on the bullshit. Don't wait 20, 30 years until white mommy tell you. You understand? Anyway, man, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Also, you can get the North Sentinel Island shirts. Also, go to MinkSlide.com to get that album, the vinyl of Mink Slide. I will holler at you guys Sunday on YouTube. Y'all be good.